This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Over 24 million people in the United States are addicted to either alcohol or drugs. It's a national epidemic, and it's killing more people than auto accidents each year. If you or a loved one are struggling with an addiction, what's your plan? Do you think it will just go away on its own? It won't. Are you embarrassed or ashamed to ask for help? Too many people are. Addiction is not a character flaw. It's a disease that, left untreated, destroys lives, families, and relationships. It will literally take everything from you. Get help. Get help now. Call the Addiction Advisor Helpline. Their advisors are there 24 hours a day to listen and provide guidance. The call is free and the service is free.
Call the Addiction Advisor at 800-278-9402. That's 800-278-9402. Again, 800-278-9402. That's 800-278-9402.
Spreading freedom across the nation. This is
the Buck Sexton Show.
And welcome one and all. You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for Buck Sexton today. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. That is the Broad Voice studio line. Of course, on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX. And the Chris Salcedo Show on Facebook. Look, let me just be honest with you. Last time that I visited with you, some things have changed in the Salcedo Show world. Don't worry, we're still there on the Blaze, noon to 3 Eastern on Saturdays. But the show, as you all probably know, we were on Monday through Friday in Houston. We've expanded. We're now in Dallas-Fort Worth. Those two markets represent the 6th and 5th largest radio markets in the country. We're incredibly excited. And so my day is basically 5 hours of broadcasting every day. We do the show at different times. And then the programming genius of the Blaze Radio, Dom Theodore, calls up and says, "Hey, can you fill in for Buck?" And I said, "Man, it's going to be 7 hours of talk radio." And I can never say no to the Buck Sexton audience. I just can't say no. So here I am. Your liberty-loving Latino, the antidote, if you will, to the Brian Williams press. That's what we do on the Salcedo Show. So glad to have you on board today for ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Speaking of which, we have another one of those beautifully produced and just incredible 4th of July specials coming up for the weekend. Those of you who are devotees to the Salcedo Show, the show will be preempted by this, which we're participating. Don't get me wrong. We're participating in the 4th of July special, but we will not have a show. So it is going to all weekend long as we celebrate America. Man alive, doesn't appear to be a lot to celebrate as of late, right? But we still here on the Blaze will be celebrating America throughout the entire weekend. The programming starts noon time tomorrow on July 3rd. So make sure you keep that programming note in mind. We have a lot to cover today. Just how bad was the TPA, the TP deal? I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek. TP, toilet paper. Yeah, that's about what it was worth. The TPA, the Trade Promotion Authority. We're going to dig deep into that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. So don't miss that. We got an expert coming in. So where to begin? We joked on the Salcedo Show when this whole focus on the Confederate flag was starting, and as it seemed to take the country by storm, as a solution to, well, the shooting of, as a crazed racist busts in and murders 9 people as they knelt in prayer in a black church. This racist nutcase terrorist. The response has been pretty typical from the American left, which is not to concentrate on the problem. Remember, the NRA, they want to concentrate on the problem. How do we keep guns out of the hands of crazy people? How do we do that? We need to do some work on this. No, the libs say, well, we just need to take it out of everybody's hands. All the law, you know, to punish the law breaking, we need to punish the law abiding. That's their view. And then in lieu of not being able to get that done, they decided to come up with a knee-jerk pablum reaction, which was to target the Confederate flag. And dare I say, there were some Republicans who went along with them in an effort to say, oh, my gosh, can we just get beyond this? We know the Brian Williams press is going to try to pin this on us. And they did. They tried to say that racism equals Republicanism, racism equals conservatism. And we joked, well, what's going to be next? Are they going to take the Dukes of Hazzard off the air? And we were joking. We should have known better, because now it's no longer a joke. The Dukes of Hazzard, because the General Lee, the car, sports the Confederate flag, it has been taken off of TV land. It's done. It's over. The sanitizing of America's history continues. Texas County Clerk will not be issuing gay marriage licenses. Salcedo Show in Houston dealt with this. It's Hood County inside of Texas, saying, no, I'm going to take the religious objection to heart that the state's attorney general, Ken Paxton, said, yeah, you can do that. You can object on a religious ground. So this woman, a Christian, Katie Lang, says there will be others in this office who will issue the gay license. I'm not going to do it. I'm grateful that the First Amendment, quote, I'm grateful that the First Amendment continues to protect the sincerely held religious beliefs of public servants like me. She goes on to quote Justice Kennedy. She says, quote, it must be emphasized that religions and those who adhere to religious doctrines may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precepts, same-sex marriage should not be condoned. So she's utilizing this, a part of that wrong-headed ruling, which, in essence, folks, empowered your federal government to change the definition of religious rights, R-I-T-E-S. Make no mistake, that's precisely what happened. That we now have a federal government that believes it's empowered to stick its nose in religion's business. I find it fascinating that the left in this country always advocates the separation of church and state until they can use the force of government against the church. Then they're all about it. Then it's all good, baby. So that's where we are. Remember what we conservatives were told, too, that we were just being hysterical when we said this gay marriage ruling, the way it was worded, was going to lead to all manner of slippery slope, deviant type behavior. And we were called reactionaries. We were called disingenuous for basically alluding to this, because we could actually read the opinion and said, this leaves the door open for a lot of stuff, man. You don't want to do this. This is terrible. The dissenting justices said as much in the gay marriage ruling. I take you to Helena, Montana, the Associated Press writing on the Blaze. A Montana man has applied for a marriage license so he can legally wed his second wife. Nathan Collier of Billings said Wednesday that the last week's Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage inspired him to try to force the acceptance of polygamy. Of course it would. We all said it would. He says he'll sue the state if his application is rejected. Collier says Yellowstone County courthouse officials initially denied the application Tuesday. When he told the officials he planned to sue, they said, wait a minute. Let us consult with the county attorney and we will give you our final answer. Collier married his first wife, Victoria, in 2000, and his second wife, Christine. He had a religious ceremony in 2007, but did not sign a marriage license. Now that the government is blessing gay marriage, he wants his multi-partner marriage blessed. Because who are we to judge now? Love wins, right, man? Love wins. Is the high court going to say that he doesn't love his second wife as much as he does his first wife? Is love wins, baby. That's it. The Blaze News, a fantastic outfit. The Houston station that I work for is a Blaze News station. You might want to call up your local terrestrial radio stations and say, we want the Blaze News. Thank you kindly. Because of what I'm about to tell you. You know what? Maybe I should tease this. I'm going to. You know what? I can go to break right now, right, guys? Not okay. Everybody's telling me. Okay. I'm going to go to break. This is why you need the Blaze News in your town, on your terrestrial radio stations. I will tell you why coming up next. It's Chris Salcedo in for the one, the only Buck Sexton on the Blaze Radio Network. Back in a second.
888-900-3393.
You're on the Buck Sexton Show.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you looking to save 50, 60, even 70% on your phone bill? Well, here's a tip. Broadvoice.com. Hi, it's Brad Staggs of Blaze TV here. Broadvoice offers high-quality phone service for only $8.95 a month. You may ask, how can I save so much money? What's the catch? Well, the secret is the technology. Broadvoice uses VoIP technology that takes analog audio signals from your phone, turns them into digital data, and then transfers them over the internet. This means crystal clear sound and cheaper phone bills. Broadvoice has been ranked in the Deloitte Technology Fast 500 and Inc. 500 as one of the fastest growing private companies in America. Get Broadvoice right now for only $8.95 a month. Keep your existing phone number for free, and Broadvoice will send you their easy plug-in adapter free. All this, and you get unlimited local calling for just $8.95 a month. Plus, for a limited time, Broadvoice will even give you your first month free. Do what we did here at Blaze Radio. Make the switch today at broadvoice.com or call 888-332-8036. 888-332-8036.
Get your Team Buck t-shirt at theblaze.com.
Well, I'd like to take credit for this. I don't think it was just me. A lot of fellow talk show hosts, probably not in the Dallas-Fort Worth/Houston area, found this out. But this is the reason why you need to have the Blaze on your local radio stations, the Blaze Radio Network, the Blaze News Network, on your local radio stations, because of the story I'm about ready to tell you. Looking on the CBS websites yesterday in the local markets. And I want to stress, if you have a CBS owned and operated facility in your town, this was not the decision of the local people on the ground. They were hurt by this. Make no mistake. They were hurt by this, but it was their overseers, probably in New York, CBS corporate, that made this decision to harm their journalistic credibility. There is a link that is now broken, by the way, but you can scroll down. There's a lot you got to scroll down on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. Tons of show prep I posted on there today. You got to scroll down, about 5 or 6, 7 posts. And you will see a Love Wins t-shirt. This is in celebration of the gay marriage ruling. This Love Wins t-shirt, as I showed you as I was showing you in the comment section, part of a screen capture on a CBS New York website, their news website. It's an advertisement. An advertisement for these t-shirts, which basically show, says celebrate marriage equality. And you click on it. Now having the banner up there is not the problem I have with this, nor is the message. I understand there are a lot of gays that are happy about this travesty at the high court. And you know maybe you don't know my position. Look, my position on gay marriage is simple. I think the government ought to be out of the marriage business, period. That if somebody came up to me tomorrow and said, the federal government does not recognize your and your wife's marriage, I'd say, so what? It's between me, my wife, and my God. I don't give a damn what you say. So it's on that premise that I don't need, the way left-wingers need, the blessings of government to sanctify my personal relationships. I don't need it. My God is not government the way left-wingers, their God is government. Okay? So my rationale is that conservatives, and it's conservatives' fault, conservatives and Republicans and people who didn't think twice about having government codify marriage and come up with laws surrounding marriage. They should never have been allowed to do this. Why? Because now government says, well, it's within, if we're okay to define marriages between a man and a woman, we're also okay to redefine it, because now it's a purview of the federal government. It's completely wrong. And we were cool with it, remember, when, as long as government didn't run counter to our religious teachings. We should have said from the very beginning, government, if you need to regulate contract law between two people, come up with a different term. Religion is the exclusive purview of the faith community of the United States, period. And we have this separation of church and state thing going on. So you do not get to weigh in on what marriage is. Come on. If you have to regulate divorce and taxes and all that other crap, okay, fine. Come up with a different name. Marriage is already taken. Marriage is already defined. Okay? So that's where I stand on this whole thing. So you go to the CBS news pages. This has been taken down, by the way. This advertisement has been taken down, largely because of what talk show hosts have discovered. When you click on that link, it took you to something called shopcbslocal.com, powered by Amazon. It was CBS branding all the hell over it. CBS was promoting one side of the debate. Now, I don't know what that is. It's not journalism. I know very many people who are in journalism on the ground in these local markets who were cringing at this. They may have supported the gay marriage ruling. Beside the point, when you are supposed to be a fair and credible journalist, you do not subscribe to having promotion of one side of an issue on your page, on your news page. And you sure as hell don't have your parent company hawking the merchandise. So it led me to ask a couple of questions. When can I expect CBS shop local CBS.com promoting on their news pages the Christ is King t-shirt? When can I expect to see the celebrate Passover t-shirts on shopcbslocal.com? When can I expect the quote, being for traditional marriage doesn't make me a bigot t-shirt? I wouldn't hold my breath. So upon hearing this, I imagine the brass at CBS said, oh crap, this really isn't objective, is it? We're really destroying our news brand. So it's come down. The link is broken. You can see what I mean. You'll see the original shirt that was on shop, and you'll see the original web address, www.shopcbslocal.com/lovewin/dp/whatever. It's there. It was there. So no matter how much CBS tries to cover this up, your bias is showing, CBS. Your bias is showing. This is why you need an objective news service on your radio stations in your towns. That's why you need the Blaze. So look, nobody does citizen activism better than the Blaze. Nobody does citizen activism inspired by Glenn Beck better than this audience. Make it happen. Cite this. We don't trust CBS News. Their credibility is shot. Again, I want to stress, your local CBS reporters, probably pretty good journalists. That's been my experience. On the local level, they're good folks. And they do practice big J journalism. It's those idiots in New York, the agendized, biased folks on the network level, who did this. Who did this to their brand across the country. You know what you're getting when you get the CBS brand. You also know what you're getting when you get the Blaze brand. You get news, A, that you wouldn't normally get on the Brian Williams Press. B, you get a straight treatment of the news. And all sides of the equation. So make sure you make it a point. Part of the many parts of advocacy that you do, I'd appreciate it. So too with the Blaze News Department, who came on the air, by the way, with me this morning when we had this reports of shots fired at the Navy shipyard in D.C. turned out to be nothing. But they called out an awful lot of people for nothing. I'd still like to know what's going on with that. There have been some things on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page that have the audience's attention. And I'm going to get into this. I won't have time before the bottom of the hour, but I'm going to get into it because the libs are going nuts. And I did this on purpose. I posted something up there. It's a chalkboard. You got to scroll down the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page to find that when you've hit the chalkboard, you know you found the right posting. This thing is blasting the doors off of the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. It's a quick history lesson. 13th Amendment abolished slavery. 100% Republican support, 23% Democrat support. 14th Amendment gave citizenship to freed slaves. 94% Republican support, 0 Democrat. 15th Amendment, the right to vote for all. 100% Republican support, 0% Democrat. And the left-wingers went crazy. Oh, you did the Southern strategy and Nixon and blah, 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 blah. Oh, they were livid. I did this on purpose. Then I posted the inspiration for this. Wait till I tell you the whole story behind this. Going to be delicious. Your phone calls as well. 888-900-3393. This is the Buck Sexton Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Get to your calls, too, right quick on the other side of the break here on The Blaze. Stick with me.
You're listening to Buck Sexton, only on The Blaze Radio Network. Sexton.
Hey, welcome back. It's me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for Buck. Mark and Jim and Sam, you guys, hang on. I will get to your calls. I promise you I will get to those calls. But I want to welcome our next guest, and maybe this will give some more fuel to the fire to what you all want to talk about. Stephanie Scruggs is the CEO of the Coalition for a Strong America, a noted writer, speaker, and a political analyst, too. Stephanie has been on Fox News, The Blaze, numerous other television, radio, and print media to discuss free market economics and the principles of liberty. And she joins me today to talk about just how bad this TP agreement, toilet paper agreement, the TPA, was with the Republicans gifting more power to Barack Obama. Stephanie, welcome to the Buck Sexton Show with me, Chris Salcedo.
Chris, it's wonderful to be on The Blaze again, and it's wonderful to chat with you again. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about TPA. This is Trade Promotion Authority. I don't want to confuse you folks about what this is. This is not the negotiation for the trade deal. This is just to give Barack Obama more power and authority to negotiate, which... Stephanie, I got to start there. I am still puzzled as to why Republicans wanted to do this. Do you know?
Well, I think it's two things. I think that as Republicans, we hear the word free trade and we think, oh, well, I'm all for free trade. The problem in this case is we're taking Barack Obama's word for what free trade is. Most of these congressmen have not read what's in these trade deals, so they're literally taking Barry's word for it. This is stunningly dangerous, number one. But number two, an insane amount of money has been poured into the election coffers, re-election coffers, of a number of congressmen and senators. And that campaign money is coming from multinational corporations that are flagged outside the United States that really want to give Barack Obama this power because, well, let's face it, the man can't negotiate his way out of a wet paper bag.
See, and that's the thing. I have heard the criticism, and I agree with it, that Barack Obama is the world's worst negotiator. Well, no, I take that back. He is the best negotiator in the world when it comes to doing good things for our enemies. He is the worst negotiator in the world when it comes to doing good things for our allies or for the United States of America. And again, that brings me back as to why in the world any member of the Republican Party who fancies himself or herself a conservative would go along with this nonsense. This cat doesn't respect the Constitution of the United States and the limits that it places on his office to begin with. Why on earth would you codify and give him legitimate power and authority? It is just beyond me.
Well, you know, there are so many things. One of the things I have learned that, God bless our congressmen and senators, a lot of them are just plain ignorant. Paul Ryan, in fact, wrote an op-ed saying that giving the president fast-track authority is the only way that Congress can have a say in the trade deals. Apparently, Congressman Paul Ryan has never read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution that specifically gives the power to negotiate trade with foreign nations only to Congress, not to the president, only to Congress. But, you know, Paul Ryan, for all the things he learned at UW, missed that part. Maybe he should have gone to Texas.
Good grief. No kidding. Stephanie Scruggs, my guest right now, CEO of the Coalition for a Strong America here on the Blaze Radio Network and the Buck Sexton Show. So, Stephanie, what did TPA do? I mean, we were told by Republicans, oh, no. This gives more power to Congress to exercise its power and authority over trade deals. My understanding is that was a complete and utter lie.
Absolutely, it's a lie. For one thing, as I told you, Congress already holds the power to negotiate trade deals. Now they're giving it entirely over to Barack Obama. What the TPA did is it laid out 150 negotiating objectives, things that Congress, basically, there are friendly suggestions, please, Mr. Obama, will you include these things in the negotiations? None of them are binding, by the way, not a single one of them. So it's literally just, pretty please, will you do this for us? We all know he's not going to. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's important to know, and one of the things that is being pulled over the eyes of both freshmen in Congress, who are by and large great constitutionalists, and the American public, is the TPP, the first trade agreement that's supposed to happen, its negotiations end at the end of this month. So to think that the administration is going to get any of these negotiations suggestions done is ridiculous, especially when Barack Obama's already repeatedly said he's not going to do them. He'll go around Congress wherever he wants. So it really, all it does is gives Barack Obama the power to wrap up the world's biggest trade agreement, the largest in history, as fast as he can so that Congress can vote it up or down. It also gives Barack Obama the power to write all the implementing legislation, all the laws and regulations that will go along with these trade agreements. Congress is supposed to write the laws, but this TPA gives Barack Obama the power to write those laws as well, and Congress can't amend them or object to them.
See,
and if Congress tries to put them down, the world courts will sue us until we implement Barack Obama's legislation.
That's huge. The fact that Congress cannot amend any deal. So here's what Barack Obama will do. He'll bring up a trade deal that benefits the Chamber of Commerce Republicans, the Chamber of Commerce folks, the big corporate interests, and the Republicans are like, okay, I'm ready to vote for that. But he'll also add a lot of left-wing considerations, which is he'll try to rewrite, let's say, immigration law. He'll try to rewrite other laws that put America at a severe disadvantage. But the Republicans will be forced and pressured by their corporate interests to vote in the affirmative for it and swallow all the bad stuff that Obama will surely load up on it, because they have written away their ability to amend any trade deal. How much reliance can we have as American citizens that Republicans will have the stomach to vote no when all of their political interests and all of their corporate interests are telling them to vote yes?
The only chance we have is we have to apply an immense amount of pressure as constituents. I mean, we have a good thing and a bad thing going here, you know, in that we have an election year coming up. So on one hand, the Republicans are going to be looking for campaign contributions that will largely come from corporate interests, and that's a tempting run from them. In fact, Ted Cruz himself received over $40,000 from pro-TPA, pro-TPP business interests, and he was publicly announcing that he was going to vote yes on it. But what changed it is Strong America got him a leaked copy of the trade agreement so he could read the whole thing and see he was being lied to. The other thing that changed it is Americans across the country flooded Ted Cruz's office with emails, telephone calls, faxes, and visits, and he changed his position.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
a stunning thing, considering he'd written three op-eds, been all over the news, been pro-TPA, but he changed it because of the work the American people did.
Well, I got to tell folks that you could be a center of this mobilization. So Stephanie Scruggs, CEO of the Coalition for a Strong America, what's the name of the website?
coalitionforastrongamerica.com. We've got a ton of information and a to-do list for you so you can get involved and save America's future.
Stephanie Scruggs, I thank you for your time here on the Buck Sexton Show. With me, Chris Salcedo. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Chris.
You betcha. All right, let's get out to your phone calls. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Mark calling in from Albany, New York. Mark, welcome to the Sexton Show with me, Salcedo.
Hey, Chris. Nice to be on your show.
Nice to have you here.
Jumping back to the previous subject, the gay marriage that's going on, and I believe this is leading into the acceptance of the persecution of Christians, and we need to take steps, basically to stop it. And one of the best steps I've seen is the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity. I can't remember what the C stands for. And that basically says employers cannot discriminate against people because of their religious beliefs, their sexual orientation.
I think the C stands for commission, by the way. It stands for commission.
Commission, that's it. You're right.
And, I think you're right, and I think it's already happening. If you look to Oklahoma, where they have just ruled the Ten Commandments monument must come down. Even, an acknowledgement of our Judeo-Christian ethic and Judeo-Christian history must come down. The excuse they gave was that they had to, because these satanic worshipers wanted to put up a monument too. In the interest of fairness, well, they had to look at this. Well, the satanic worshipers were not the basis of American law, the rule of law here. So this whole idea, I think you're right. And what if gays were treated like Christians are? What if they were told you had to take down your gay flag because it offended somebody, or because everybody's going to want to put up their flag now? But no, the gays don't get treated like that. Only Christians do. It's already starting. Christians and Jews are already a target here in this left-wing dominated America we live in.
Well, things are being used against us, yes, but at the same time, we could turn it around. What the EEOC says is, let's say there's a company that fires somebody because they voiced opposition to gay marriage. Well, now you're creating a hostile work environment towards Christians. Christians
right.
are not allowed in your company to voice opposition to this. Well, that's not what the Supreme Court ruling said. It said you still have that right. So now you've created a hostile work environment. The Christians of the entire company that have not been fired can turn around and sue under EEOC law. And
Mark, I think you're hitting on something else that's coming up here, Mark. And I think Charles Lane from The Washington Post was on Fox News Channel and said this whole Supreme Court decision was going to be greeted by acquiescence and acceptance. And I think there is a huge backlash coming because of all of this, and it's the mainstream press doesn't want to acknowledge it, but it's going to be coming. Mark, I thank you for the call. Jim and Sam, we will get to your phone calls coming up here next on the Buck Sexton Show with me, Chris Salcedo. You want to dial in? 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393.
Buck Sexton, we'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network.
What team are you on? Get your Team Buck shirt now at theblaze.com.
All right, we lost one caller, but one stuck around. Jim, welcome to the Buck Sexton Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Howdy.
Hey, howdy. From the great state of Texas. Traveling across 105 right now, heading for Louisiana.
This is Jim from Minnesota, folks, a frequent caller to the Salcedo Show who has wandered out of his territory. Down into the great state of Texas. You're going to visit family, yes?
Yep. Yeah, I got family in Natchez, Louisiana.
Nice.
Yeah, my dad's will be 89 in December, and he's got Alzheimer's real bad, so I try to get down here and see him as much as I can.
Cool. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just thinking about this whole thing with the, this love, was it love wins? What's the hashtag? Love wins?
Love wins. Constitution loses, but love wins.
Oh, yeah. It just drives me crazy because I say, it's going to be what? Next, as far as you can marry your hamster, your goldfish, your cousin, your uncle, your mother and father. It's just, you know, that's where we're at.
No, I can't disagree with that.
Oh, yeah. Because that's all it is about, just love. And, you know, I've been married almost 30 years to the same woman. And like I said, it's just, you know, it's a lot of commitment. There's, you know, children involved, you know, a lot of time, you know, working on the relationship. There's more to it than just love.
No, I agree with you. Jim, I thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Let's go from Texas, Minnesota via Texas, and let's go to Pennsylvania. Gene is hanging the line. Hey, Gene.
Good afternoon, Chris. Howdy. Hey, I want to go on a couple of directions here. One, I want to go with our Republican candidates. I wonder if we could try to get them to do to the media what Hillary Clinton is doing to the media, and see how fast the media melts down.
You must be a mind reader, because I have a soundbite on this that addresses this. Gene, if you'll permit me to take, you know what, guys, I want to hold Gene over because I want to talk to, because this is actually a very good call. Gene, I'm going to play the soundbite for you so you can listen off the air, but I'm going to keep you past the top of the hour break because I want to talk more to you about some other things. But you just brought up a very good point that Britt Hume was articulating last night on Special Report. You know, Hillary Clinton has had some bouts with the truth, and I'm putting that mildly. And the Brian Williams press has, by and large, not covered it, as she is still widely leading nationally in these polls. Democrats are going to vote for a liar left and right, and they are ignoring what they would crucify a Republican for doing. Here is Britt Hume, the Fox News Channel, and what I call Britt's brilliance, talking about Hillary's lies.
The late columnist William Safire of the New York Times described Hillary Clinton as a, quote, congenital liar. The list of her whoppers was long then, and it has been growing ever since. She claimed that as a novice investor in Arkansas, she made a 10,000% killing trading cattle futures by reading the Wall Street Journal, something one observer said was akin to, quote, driving to Hawaii. She said she came under sniper fire in Bosnia in 1996. She didn't. She said her daughter was jogging around the World Trade Center on 9/11/2001. She wasn't. She even once claimed that she was named for Sir Edmund Hillary after he became the first man to climb Mount Everest. But that didn't happen until 5 years after she was born. More recently, she claimed she turned over all her job-related emails from her days as Secretary of State, but work-related emails have since turned up that the State Department didn't have. And she claimed the notorious Sid Blumenthal was just an old friend with whom she sometimes kept in touch and who sent her unsolicited emails. Turns out, as we've heard, that she was reaching out to him in the dark of night from the first year of the Obama administration, and her emails make clear she welcomed and encouraged his advice. With such a record of mendacity, and there are numerous other examples, one thing is clear. It's a good thing for Hillary Clinton that she's not a Republican.
Is it any wonder why we call it Brit's brilliance here on my show, on the Chris Salcedo show? I was so happy to share that with you. So Gene, he's going to hang on from Pennsylvania. We're going to talk to him on the other side of the break, because I think he wants to talk about more things and expand on this idea. And I didn't want to take up his airtime with that, but it was just such a perfect fit that I had to get Brit's brilliance in there. If you want to weigh in on what we've been talking about so far today, or something that's on your mind, 888-900-3393. This is the Buck Sexton Show. I'm Chris Salcedo. Back in a minute on the Blaze Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
Buck Sexton
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Spreading freedom across the nation. This is 3, 2, 1.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Hour 2. Brought to you by your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo. Glad you've made it to the Buck Sexton Show, everybody. 888-900-3393 is the telephone number. Held over Gene from Pennsylvania because I wanted to talk to him more extensively. First off, get his reaction to Brit's brilliance. Gene, what did you think as he was outlining all the lies that America's been told by Hillary to their faces, and the Democrats still say, oh, no, we must vote for her despite all of these lies?
I think Rahim hit it right on the money. But for the Democrats, they don't care because, unfortunately, in my view, they have no morals. So they don't care that she's a liar. They don't care that she's responsible for the death of the people in Benghazi. They don't care as long as they get what they want. And that's the way I feel about that.
Well, that's liberalism, you know, and Barack Obama suffers from the same inability to tell the truth. I mean, he's lied to the American people on repeated occasions, as has his administration. So, yeah, I think it's a liberal thing. They just have a real problem with the truth. Now, you wanted to talk about ISIS. What was your question about ISIS?
Well, I have an idea. I don't know what it is, but I was thinking. Let me think out loud a little bit. It's about crowdfunding for our own mercenary army to go over there and kill these animals because our government is too cowardly to stand up and do what needs to be done and truly go after these animals. I think it's going to take an outside force because governments around the world are hiding under their desk going, please don't make me make a decision, and no one wants to deal with it. And too many people are being killed unnecessarily when we just need to put these dogs down.
I don't know how you do it, Gene, but not once, but twice in the span of one phone call, you have read this host's mind. One of the stories I was going to talk about today was something that came out of the UK Telegraph, and here you are talking about ISIS and something that, you know, you need, something needs to be done. Barack Obama, as reported by the UK Telegraph, has blocked, along with David Cameron from the UK, has blocked Arab allies, our Arab allies, from providing heavy weapons to the Kurds. The Kurds want to fight ISIS. They remember, and there's a whole history here too, Gene, I won't bore you with, but again, this is a huge story that I will get into after our phone call together, but I just have to compliment you on reading the host's mind. You do a great job at that.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate it. And you know, how can we not consider this treasonous against the United States? If the United States and our own government says that ISIS is a problem, how can stopping others from going after them not be putting us in harm's way? And how can that not be considered treason?
Well, I will try to boil that down, and I will answer that question for you. I think it is against America's best interest to do what Obama has done, but I will try to wade through this. And Gene, I appreciate the phone call. Here's what was articulated in the pages of the UK Telegraph. All of the fantastic reporting, by the way, done on our administration by foreign journalists. The domestic journalists don't do this kind of thing. As mentioned in the Brian Williams Press, tends to ignore mess ups, screw ups, lies, and problems with the Democrat Party and extremist libs, saving their expertise, their journalistic expertise, I'm making air quotes with my fingers, for Republicans. But nonetheless, here is a headline that should have been on the nightly news of every major broadcast in the country. Here is Barack Obama and David Cameron apparently buying into this. Stopping our Arab allies from arming the Kurds. Now, there's a lot of history here. And there's a lot going on here, so I want to explain it. I'm going to take some time to explain this. And don't worry, I'm going to get back to the Salcedo Show Facebook page. I promise. I'll get back there. Barack Obama understands that the Kurds are pro-American. Barack Obama understands the Kurds are pro-democracy, are pro positive economic development. This was the Kurds were living a rather prosperous life under Saddam Hussein's Iraq, courtesy of America's no-fly zone. We kept Saddam Hussein from using more of his weapons of mass destruction to gas more Kurds. Remember, 5,000 Kurds were killed by Saddam Hussein by these weapons of mass destruction the American left says didn't exist in Iraq. At any rate, the Kurds, pro-American, pro-democracy, good fighters. They're fighting with antiquated Russian weaponry at this point and still managing to hold their own against ISIS. Remember, ISIS, Barack Obama's creation, Barack Obama's JV team, the jihadi army and jihadi state that Barack Obama allowed to form while he was trying to tell us that they were a JV team so that we wouldn't demand he get up off his butt and do something. So now the Arab allies recognizing, hey, these Kurds are good fighters. Boy, they are inspired. They want a state of their own. And that's where Iraq is going, by the way, folks. Not by choice. Barack Obama pulled this off. Undid all of George Bush's good work with the surge, which had set up Iraq to unify under a secular government representing all Sunnis, Shia, and Kurds. But Barack Obama did that by his irresponsible withdrawal of American troops so he could play politics in the 2012 election. So the Kurds, the good guys, pro-American, good guys, Barack Obama refuses to arm them. Then we have the Sunnis, the minority in Iraq. These are Saddam Hussein's folks. They were the ones that were holding the majority Shia under their boot for all of those years under Saddam Hussein. And the Sunnis now, since they were ostracized from Iraq's government, have become disenfranchised, and they make up the bulk, not all of it. There are some Sunni tribesmen who want to fight ISIS. They're few and far between, but they do have some numbers. And then you have the Shia, the majority inside of Iraq, and they are now the puppet government of Iran because Obama bailed and they were looking around for a patron and they found Iran. And they are kindred spirits with the Shia in Iran. So that's where we sit in Iraq today. The Arab allies recognizing ISIS as a threat. By the way, threatening Hamas of all people. Can you believe this? Threatening to take out Hamas and Fatah inside of the Palestinian territory because they're too accommodating to the Jews. Hamas. That gives you an idea of how extreme ISIS is. So you have the Kurds who want to fight ISIS. And the Arab allies say, we want to give them some heavy weaponry. We want to do an airlift. We're going to give it to them because America won't. Barack Obama not only will not arm the Kurds, he is actively preventing them from becoming armed. He stood in the way. He and David Cameron blocked the Arab nations, writes the UK Telegraph, blocked them from giving heavy weapons to the Kurds. Who is this? Con Coughlin writes, the United States, i.e. Obama, has blocked attempts by Middle East allies to fly heavy weapons directly to the Kurds fighting Islamic State jihadis in Iraq. Some of America's closest allies say President Obama and other Western leaders, including David Cameron, are failing to show strategic leadership over the world's gravest security risk in decades. Here's what's going on here. The United States government now is run out of Tehran. Mr. Obama, even if he wanted to arm the Kurds, the Iranian mullahs do not want the Kurds armed. The Iranian mullahs only want their cousins who are in the puppet government of Iraq to be armed. This is why Team Obama continues to send weapons to the Shia-dominated Iraqi government, puppets of Iran. Those regular standing army, if you can call them that, of Iraq, go out and try to combat ISIS. They see ISIS on the battlefield. They drop their weapons and run. Our weapons that we gave them. Barack Obama has done more to arm ISIS, America's enemy, than he is doing to arm the Kurds, our friends. The reason why he's doing this is because Tehran has said, hey, Obama, don't do this. If you want your little precious legacy item, you know, paving the way for us to have a nuclear weapon, if you want your little legacy item, you will not arm the Kurds. And not only that, you will not allow your American allies to arm the Kurds, lest those guns be turned on us here in Iran. And Obama says, okay, okay, I'll do whatever you want. Okay. That is where we sit with President Obama. This is why we cannot afford to elect another liberal to high office. This is why we cannot afford Democrats lying, as we've established with Hillary and with Obama, lying Democrats. They won't tell us the truth. As a matter of fact, they'll tell us American threats like ISIS, our JV teams, so we don't insist they do their job of protecting America. This is the modern day Democrat Party. This is who we oppose. It's me, Chris Salcedo, in for Buck Sexton, the Blaze Radio Network. Back in a second.
Taking intelligence to a whole new level. Buck Sexton.
The Blaze Radio Network. This is the Buck Sexton Show.
You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for Mr. Sexton. You want to dial up and talk to me about anything that happens to be on your mind? 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393 is the phone number. I promise you I'd get to what's burning up the Salcedo Show Facebook page. And I mentioned this last hour. It's a quick history lesson that just has the liberals going crazy. It basically articulates the Republicans' superior role in the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, abolishing slavery, citizenship for freed slaves, and the right to vote for everybody. And the liberals just went crazy. The Southern strategy and all those Dixiecrats became Republicans. Yeah, I know the history. I know what's happening. This was in direct response to a graphic they had put up on their website, which predates the Southern strategy. They go back all the way to Woodrow Wilson. and basically list a whole bunch of what they call accomplishments. And understand, a liberal's idea of an accomplishment is, what can government do? Not only that, but what can government do for me? And what can government give away? What can government take from somebody else and give to me? That's their idea of an accomplishment. So after the left-wingers go nuts about my history lesson, then I say, well, this is what inspired me to post real history, this Occupy Democrats graphic that says, lists Democrat Party accomplishments, air quotes over accomplishments. Women's rights. Women's right to vote. Under Woodrow Wilson, of course, ignoring all the Republicans in Congress that had a role in that. The fact that Woodrow Wilson was president, that goes into the Democrat column. Well, that's pretty good. That is an accomplishment. I think that's a way forward. But I don't think you can say it was all the work of Woodrow Wilson. Social Security, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. That I have written extensively on this, folks. You just Google my name, Chris Salcedo, and Social Security. You'll see what I think I wrote it for PJ Media at the time. Social Security is the biggest ripoff ever foisted on the American people by liberals. It's true. And you'll not be surprised to know that all of the promises that were made about Social Security have never been kept. Never been kept. Minimum wage. Passed by FDR. I could see a time where this was necessary. Along with labor laws. The minimum wage is no longer necessary. What now it is a perversion of the free market. And it led to unions, which have, again, perverted the free market, driven businesses offshore, exploited workers, ruined companies. Thank you, unions. Unemployment insurance. Promising your employer will have to subsidize you until you find another job for a certain amount of time. They talk about Rural Electrification Act, basically getting power out to the people. This is akin to Mr. Obama wanting to get the internet out to places around the country where it's not. And they pledge your money to do it. Can you call that a Democrat accomplishment? Or maybe that's an American accomplishment, because it's our tax money funding this garbage. And it probably would have been more efficiently done had there been demand to support it. Businesses could have got it done faster and more efficiently than through a government program. the GI Bill of Rights. Yes, the GI Bill of Rights, good idea. But the liberals have been trying to dismantle it ever since it was passed. But they credit Democrats with passing it. School lunch program, which turned into the school breakfast program, which turned into the school dinner program, which turned into food distribution centers, the nation's government-run schools, 24/7 distributing food to those who may or may not need it. Dependence on government. Oh, that's good. That's an accomplishment. Dependence on government is an accomplishment. First man on the moon, Kennedy. The Democrats are primarily responsible for this because it was Kennedy that said this is what we need to do. I would just as soon these liberals thank the American taxpayer for allowing this stuff to happen. None of it would have gone anywhere without our free enterprise capitalist system. Again, liberals and Democrats, not big fans of the free market capitalist system, free enterprise system. Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, none of which would have passed without Republican votes. Majority of Republicans voting for those acts. Democrats in the South voted against it. Can you really, since it was LBJ at the top, can you really claim victory on this, Democrats? They also list the Clinton budget surplus. What? They list Medicare and Medicaid, bankrupt programs. By the way, the Clinton surplus, you can thank Newt Gingrich for that. The Congress, which was a Republican Congress. You know, liberals, the power of the purse. It was in the hands of Republicans. And then they list Obamacare. Obamacare. They list that as an accomplishment. It is screwing, it is bending over and screwing Americans left and right. And they call it an accomplishment. Well, if you're about doing harm to America, sure. You can call that an accomplishment. I do not accept your premises that government-centered programs are a measure of success, because a vast majority of your government-centered programs are either bankrupt or bankrupting the country. And then it challenges you to name a single Republican accomplishment. Well, Republicans, well, heretofore have not believed that you measure accomplishment by how many laws you pass and how many regulations you impose on the people, how much you soak the American people. That has never been a measure of a Republican accomplishment. In fact, it's just the opposite. The conservative and the old Republicans would say, the measure of an accomplishment is how much the American people are able to govern themselves. The measurement of accomplishment is how much do we get the federal government out of your hair, get them the hell out of your way. That's the accomplishment. Limited constitutional government. That's the accomplishment. Just because we don't sign on to legislation as a form of accomplishment doesn't mean we don't have any. I do not accept the liberal premise that passing laws is an accomplishment. This is by far blowing the doors off the Salcedo Show Facebook page. I hope you can migrate there at some point today and check it out for yourself. Contribute to the success, if you will. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will deal with the Pope. I am a practicing Roman Catholic. That's coming up.
You're listening to Buck Sexton, only on the Blaze Radio Network. Sexton Hotline, 888-900-3393.
Wait, Ty, what did you hear? Where did you see this?
Yes, on social media, there were people who were upset that the active shooter turned out to not be real. It was like, if you're going to report this and get us all upset, make sure it's real.
Seriously, so who was lamenting that?
a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook, a lot of people who the media is always like, listen, I'm all for ripping the media, but not about this. What are they supposed to do?
But you should have seen the police response, man. It was crazy. I mean, how do you not report that?
They had to report it.
Of course they did. Good grief. So they're basically, oh, shucks, there's no shooter. Is that the tenor of it?
Yes.
You got to be, of course, folks, breaking news earlier on the day was a report of an active shooter in the Navy shipyard in D.C. Same place back in 2013 where 12 people lost their lives. So it turns out to have been a false alarm. Still don't know what the circumstances are behind that. I'm sure there's a reporting that I'm just not looking at. But at any rate, the fact that somebody would get onto social media and say, oh, darn, there wasn't a real shooter, and blame the media. Come on. Before we get onto the Pope, wanted to point out that there are some other things getting your attention on Facebook, on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. This graphic is a distant second, but it's second place to the history lesson for liberals. What you have here is 9 pictures. And the 9 pictures are of how the liberal left has really perverted the English language in our conversation here in the country. There's a picture of Elizabeth Warren, and it says, this is an Indian, as in Native American. There's a picture of this girl, this unfortunate, sick white girl, Dulazol Doofus Storfus, or whatever her name is, the former NAACP member out on the West Coast, who was white and who pretended to be black. But she's labeled black in today's America by liberals. There's a picture of George Zimmerman. According to the New York Times, he was white because he shot Trayvon Martin. So he must be white even though he was Hispanic. There's a picture of transgender that the label the liberals have attached to transgender as hero. There's a picture of arsonists, looters, people who are destroying property, a cop car, in either Ferguson or Baltimore. Who can tell the difference, right? And this is the liberal definition of peaceful. There's a picture of Michael Brown choking a store clerk who was trying to prevent him from stealing cigarillos. That's the liberal version of what gentle is in America. The aforementioned Trayvon Martin is flipping off the camera. A young man, obviously. But this is what, because it serves a left-wing political motivation, this is what the left considers a child. Mm-hmm. And then there is a picture of our fighting men and women in uniform holding up American flags. This is what the American left refers to as a terrorist. Remember, Janet Napolitano, looking askant at those returning from war, saying, oh, we got to keep an eye on those guys. Those are the ones we got to look out for. You know, not the radical Islamic fundamentalist jihadists. No, not those guys, but American soldiers. And then there's a picture of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And this is when the left shows Clinton, they use her as an example of what poor is. Yes, she's a Democrat. She's for the people. She must be poor. Must be poor. Not like those rich conservative Republicans out there. Which brings me to our friends at Campus Reform, who showed up on campus talking to a bunch of young Americans. I'm assuming this is the millennial generation. I think Rush Limbaugh touched on this on his program a couple days ago. But I thought it'd be appropriate to list this next to the liberals' idea of what poor is. The Brian Williams Press has done a fantastic job of saying, Democrat good, Democrat for the people, Republican elitist, Republican for the rich people. So what Campus Reform decided to do was put up an easel on a street corner, or maybe on a college campus, doesn't matter where. And they put up homes, palatial homes, multi-million dollar homes, listed their price tags, 4 of them. And labeled them candidate cribs. These homes belong to someone running for president. Can you guess which presidential candidate matches these homes? Well, the guesses came flooding in. I mean, they guessed Dr. Benjamin Carson, of course, because he's a doctor and he got lots of money. So he's going to live in a mansion, of course. Oh, that wasn't correct. They guessed Jeb Bush because Jeb Bush comes from the Bush family and they're incredibly rich. So they must have a mansion somewhere, right? Anybody seen George W. Bush's Crawford Ranch? Very humble. Single story. Very highly efficient. Very green is Mr. Bush's Crawford Ranch. He never gets any credit for it. They guessed, who else did they get? Oh, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio, because the New York Times runs a piece about Marco Rubio buying an $80,000 boat. Oh, he must be rich. It's a fishing boat, you know, not a yacht. At any rate, all of the respondents were surprised to learn that these homes don't belong to individual candidates. As a matter of fact, they all belong to one candidate. Anybody want to venture a guess who that candidate is? That's right. It's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Rodham Clinton owns all four homes. But thanks to the Brian Williams Press, you'd never know it because it goes against the narrative. Folks, the Clintons are filthy rich, and they love talking about how rich they are. Don't let the Brian Williams Press snow you. And as a matter of fact, when you run across a member of the Brian Williams Press, or the next time they run a positive puff piece on why Hillary Clinton deserves to be president of these United States, just remind them of their duplicity on this issue. All right, let's deal with the Pope. For those of you who don't know, I am a practicing Roman Catholic, and I have been more than distressed at the antics of late of one Pope Francis. Now, he started out of the gate pretty good. He was a Pope of the people. He shed the trappings of the papacy, the pomp and circumstance, the chauffeurs, the opulent settings. He lives in a humble abode. He carries his own luggage, drives his own car. He has very much, he started out his papacy as really the people's pope. He did. I was very proud of the pope. Was, past tense. Where he has gone since is incredibly disappointing and distressing to a practicing Roman Catholic like me. He has decided that he will throw the weight of the Catholic Church behind the theory of man-made global warming. Notice I say it's a theory every bit as valid as the theory that the sun might have something to do with global temperatures. Just saying. Nothing has been proven, no direct correlation between CO2 emissions by man and the temperature on the planet has been drawn. No liberal anywhere, no scientist everywhere can give me a direct proportional relationship. The X amount of CO2 in the atmosphere generated by man yields this amount of temperature of warming by virtue of the fact that China still continues to emit CO2 at an unprecedented rate, the world's number one CO2 emitter. And even though America has cut back, our CO2 levels are rising and we have been cooling or no warming for the last 18 years, going on 19 years. So no scientist anywhere has been able to say, here's the equation, Chris. If you put this much CO2 into the air, you're going to get this much warming. It doesn't exist. Has not happened. And until it does, until I see a correlation, a postulate or a theorem that is provably replicatable in a laboratory, it is still a theory. Man causing global warming is a theory. Now, the Vatican has opened up its doors to individuals who 100% believe that man is the driving force behind global warming. They have closed their doors to those who are skeptics. So right away, Pope Francis has tuned out those who disagree with the climate science consensus. Notice I say climate science consensus, a relatively new discipline. Those who are climate scientists are a minority of the scientific community. The scientific community writ large, much more than just climate science. And the vast majority of the scientific community remains skeptical of this idea that man is causing the globe to warm. Some do. The other disciplines, geologists, physicists, some say, yes, from what they could tell, that man is has a role. And I would say man has a role. I just don't think it's the driving force. I don't think man's CO2 emissions drives global climate warming. Now, the Pope, again, turned away those who were skeptical, but has opened the doors and is only being informed by one side of the equation. And folks, trust me, I have reached out to the Fort Worth, the Dallas, the Houston Diocese, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I have been met with radio silence. I, as a practicing Catholic, a devout Catholic, they won't talk to me. Let me say, for all of you who are of faith, this has not shaken my faith in God. As a matter of fact, my belief in Jesus Christ, my belief in the Word of God, is more strengthened now than ever, because Pope Francis has shown me beyond the shadow of a doubt the failures of man. As he subscribes to a worldwide government regulating climate change, he is focusing on that as of this world. He is not focusing his flock on the brass ring, which is Christ, which is God. He has done something else to tick me off. And I will bring you that story next. This is the Buck Sexton Show. My name is Chris Salcedo. Back with you in two shakes.
This is the Buck Sexton Show.
The Blaze Radio Network. This is the Buck Sexton Show.
The Associated Press writing, the Vatican added yet another strange bedfellow to its expanding ecological alliance Wednesday, hosting anti-capitalist eco-crusader Naomi Klein at a conference on saving the planet. Klein, the author of, quote, "This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate," acknowledged Wednesday that as a secular Jewish feminist, she never expected to be invited to the Vatican. As a Catholic, I never expected a secular Jewish feminist to be invited to the Vatican either. But she told a Vatican news conference that Pope Francis's recent encyclical on the environment and the global economic system that is threatening it spoke to her. The global economic system that is threatening it. This was a bashing of capitalism, a bashing of free market values, free enterprise. And the Vatican and the person of the Pope has solidly stepped behind this, basically defaulting to his roots, which is Central America and South America, which believe in the great white Satan, that is capitalism and free market enterprise that results in poverty for the vast majority of the world. The Pope ignores that it's actually left-wing governments, despots, dictators who do that. So when he comes here in September, I am not encouraged that the Pope will be setting his mind on God. As a matter of fact, you know, he's getting more and more secular by the day. Really disturbing to those of us who are Catholics.
Catholic fans, it's the Ford Budweiser Pope Mobile Monster Truck Spring Championship. Blast into St. Patrick's Cathedral to genuflect this Sunday, featuring the 50,000 Sinner Battle of the Pope Mobile Challenge with Bigfoot, Tabernacle, and Exorcism taking on the half-tank, half-truck Mark of the Beast. Plus, pro-choicers getting communion, free confessional use, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Get absolved this Sunday, the Pope Mobile Monster Truck Spring Championship.
That's the Fox and Rice Experience. you'll hear him only on the Chris Salcedo Show. As a Catholic, I don't know. I gotta draw the line when the Pope goes all commercial like that. Am I wrong? Why are you guys in there laughing? I don't think I'm wrong about this. What? What? Over the line? Hey, I can't be doing any worse than Pope Francis is doing. I mean, folks, on a serious matter here. Look, we have some pretty dark days coming up here in our world. We need our Christian communities, our faith communities unified. What Pope Francis is doing with his advocacy here is inspiring division. There's going to be a schism in the Catholic Church. Mark my words, there will be. There already is one developing. All right, that's going to do it for the Buck Sexton Show for this Thursday before the big holiday, the 4th of July holiday. Have a blessed one, will you please? Make sure you check out the Chris Salcedo Show on Facebook. Make sure you check out on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX. And check out the Salcedo Show right here on the Blaze Radio Network. And always keep it tuned to the great Buck Sexton. Talk to you all when we talk to you right here on the Blaze Radio Network. Have a good one, everybody.
The Buck Sexton Show on the Blaze Radio Network.